Today on the program, Jackie Carvey is joining us, candidate for Quincy City Councilor at large in this year's city elections, to tell us a little bit about herself, what's important to her, and what she'd like you to know about her. So, Jackie, nice to meet you, first of all.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Yeah, we're happy to talk to all the candidates on the ballot this year who have qualified, which you have.
Yes.
Right? Your 50-plus certified signatures, and you will appear on the ballot this year. For
yes.
The first time?
Yes, it's very exciting. This is my first foray into local politics, and I'm very much looking forward to having the opportunity to run.
Sure. So let's hear a little bit about yourself. Who's Jackie Carvey?
I am a former music educator, and I have lived in Quincy for about 13 years. I'm originally from Vermont, and I attended college at the University of Maine, where I majored in music education. And after I graduated, I moved to Massachusetts with a friend, and I was searching for teaching jobs, and that's how I landed here.
Wow, what brought you to the Massachusetts area?
I figured after graduating, I would either move back to Vermont or stay in Maine. It hadn't even occurred to me to explore other options, and I thought, well, this is the time to, I had some money saved, so I figured I would just try to find a job somewhere else and have a new experience. And I felt like I could employ the services of my family if I needed a little bit of stability. And so I just took a risk. And I ended up with a teaching job in Randolph. And I was living in Somerville at the time. So I loved living in Somerville, but the commute was a little hellacious.
Right through Boston every
right
day.
Through Boston, yeah. And I have had the experience of breaking down in the tunnel. That wasn't something I really wanted to replicate.
Welcome to Massachusetts.
Welcome to Massachusetts. So a couple of years in, I decided to land in Quincy because I just thought it would still give me access to Boston while making the commute much more manageable.
Okay. So what degree did you earn at the University of Maine?
At the University of Maine, my degree is in vocal music education.
Oh, okay. Okay, and what did you teach in Randolph? In the public schools?
In the public schools. Yeah. I was at Randolph High School, and so I taught a variety of music electives. Oh. I taught theater and piano. Choir was the main focus, so I had a few different choir ensembles. And I also started a chapter of the Triumph Music Honor Society while I was there. They're a great organization, and they meld the mastery of musical skill, academic success and community service.
Okay.
And then I also advised the student council for a couple of years while I was
good.
There too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where'd your journey take you from there?
I was in Stoughton for a year after that. Oh. And then I started to think about leaving the classroom because I wanted to have a bit more flexibility. I appreciated having summers for that, but I have a niece and nephew in Vermont, and I didn't want to just see them during the summertime. So I was about to leave altogether, and then a friend reached out and said, hey, we have a long-term sub position in Westwood. Would you be interested?
So Westwood
Public Schools. Okay. Yep. It was at the middle school, and I took that on for the 2021-2022 school year.
Okay.
And then after that, I left the classroom altogether, and I now work for a healthcare nonprofit in Boston.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So quite a variety of experiences so far. Yeah. It would almost seem like you'd be running for school committee rather than city councilor.
Yeah.
Your interest in public education.
Yeah, that's a good point, and that has been brought up in conversation before.
Sure.
And I think, as I don't have children of my own, I'm like the proud auntie for many of my friends' kids. But I think the council would benefit from someone like me because I'm not a small business owner. I don't have kids in the public schools, but I am a constituent who cares very much. And having been in the position where my vitality lies on a municipal budget, I know from the opposite end of that what that looks like and what that feels like and how it impacts students. And I think it's important in both governing bodies for
school committee and city
for
council.
School committee or city or town council to have advocates for education, especially considering that the budget for education for the FY26 is so significant.
Mm-hmm. What brought you to Quincy, Jackie? I'm curious.
Honestly, it was really a geographic choice because I was really just trying to do the math of, do I want to find a place where I can access the T?
Yeah.
The majority of my friends were somewhere on the red line at that point in time, so it wasn't too much of a journey to see them. Again, my family are all still in Vermont, so accessing that part of my life is always out of state at this point. But I wanted to also not have to worry about driving an hour to school every day. Okay. That was really important.
Sure.
So, but my now husband and I, so we got married in January, but we moved in together in 2023. And at that point, he was living in Somerville. And when we were talking about moving in together, and again, where we wanted to land, where we would potentially want to start building a family, we talked about Somerville, we talked about other options on the South Shore, we talked about moving back to Vermont. Mm. And I said to him, you know, I really like living in Quincy. I enjoy being here. I think it's a great place to be. It's a great place to raise kids. And even if that isn't something that's in our future, there's so much going on, and the landscape has changed quite a bit, even in the last 5 years. So he took a leap and joined me. So I used to live in Ward 5. We're now in Ward 4, and we're pretty happy. And it's been a good change.
Sure. But so you've been in the city for 13 years, and all of a sudden you're like, I want to get interested and involved in local politics.
Yes.
What was the spark that triggered that?
It's something I've thought about for a while, but while I was teaching, it wasn't something I had the bandwidth for. I was more invested in the local political scene in the school districts where I was teaching, because as I mentioned previously, you know, that more directly impacted my day-to-day and my students. And it wasn't that I didn't care or wasn't invested about the students in Quincy, but I just didn't have the bandwidth for it, truthfully. And it wasn't until after I left teaching and started thinking about why I wanted to live here, because I think a career shift can start those questions turning. And I started dog walking while I was job hunting for something new.
Oh, as a side gig,
yeah. Okay, yeah. And because of the dog walking, I was exploring parts of Quincy that I would drive through every day, but didn't actually take the time to explore. And I thought, this is a really great place to be. Huh. There's so much happening in terms of economic development. Mm-hmm. The historical aspect is wonderful. I joined the Quincy Choral Society because without having access to musical ensembles as an educator, that was a big void I needed to fill.
Sure.
And it felt really fulfilling.
Okay.
So when Steve and I moved in together and then got married, we decided that in 2025 we wanted to commit to attending city council meetings just so we could be a little bit more aware of what was going on. Mm-hmm. Because we figured, we don't have family here, so we're not going to hear about things secondhand unless we go out of our way to find out what's happening in our community.
Okay.
And those are the things that we can control. And we started attending the meetings and watching online, and it felt really difficult to access information. And there were a couple of instances where we attended a meeting in March and found out that the following evening there was going to be a community meeting that involved a couple of different wards, and we hadn't been made aware of it.
I see.
And I think in talking to some other friends who live around the same wards that we do, we found that there was some inconsistency in terms of how folks were being communicated with. Mm. And I don't think that is ill-intended, but I think I saw there an opportunity to get involved and try to look at community engagement, which is a subcommittee that if I were to be elected to the body, that is a subcommittee that I would love, or a committee that I would like to be a part of, to try to engage with other residents who might be feeling the same way that we did.
Okay.
Because I think...
Do you know what those meetings were about, Jackie?
They were about traffic.
Oh, traffic. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt slighted or just kind of disappointed, I guess?
I think disappointed, not slighted, because again, it's not intentional.
Okay.
But I think, you know, we felt comfortable attending the meetings. But I know that for some people, the idea of getting involved in politics or even just participating as the average constituent can feel intimidating. Mm. And so that is a barrier that I would like to try to ameliorate.
Okay.
Just through, again, through access to information.
Yeah.
And looking at the city council website, you know, I've reached out, I think even a couple of years ago, I had reached out to see if I could find information about board committees, and I didn't really find information. I didn't get a lot of responses back about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to create more opportunities and, like, working with the Office for Constituent Services, for example, to help people feel more empowered to become involved.
Okay. And do you have kind of a vision for how that would look if it were operating properly?
That's a really great question. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to know what proper should look like or could look like when I don't have all the information myself.
Yeah.
So I think it's like the step one would be just communicating with the different heads of departments to learn more about what they do and how they do it.
Okay.
But at minimum, you know, as a counselor at large, being responsible for the entire constituency,
right,
like having meetings listed, having if I can't help you with your problem or your concern, here is the place to look if you need a little bit of guidance.
Okay.
And even if it's something, this might sound simple, but looking at the website a couple of days ago,
mm-hmm,
there are more resources there that have been posted even in the last year or so, and I think that's wonderful. But when you're first trying to figure out how to navigate your footing in a new place, you don't always know where to look. So even if there is a page posted on the City of Quincy website, if it's something that I could help reroute someone toward by also listing it on like the at-large website, that might be helpful too.
Okay.
I think again, I'm always looking at these things through the lens of an educator.
Mm.
It's like, I put the information on the board. Why didn't you see it?
Right.
Well, sometimes it just needs to be presented in a couple of different ways in order, okay, for people to feel comfortable accessing it.
So as an at-large counselor, mm-hmm, do you envision yourself holding community meetings like the ones you attended?
Absolutely. Really? And that was, as I was gathering signatures and filling out my nomination papers, that was a common concern,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that people had, or a common frustration. And I think the end result is either ambivalence or just resignation as to not wanting to become involved.
Okay.
Because people, I think, are hitting barriers. Either they don't totally understand what the counselor role is.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, for example, didn't know that there was a difference between a ward counselor and an at large counselor.
Okay.
And admittedly, when I first moved here, I didn't know how that worked either.
Okay. Right.
Right. So I think it's, again, just being able to have open lines of communication,
mm-hmm,
to help people better understand how,
okay,
our government works is a great way of facilitating more community engagement and involvement.
Okay. So a couple of the issues that have come up with other candidates so far this year that I've talked to, fiscal transparency,
mm-hmm,
and government accountability. So are you a homeowner or are you a renter?
I am a renter.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
a renter. And when when Steve and I talk about wanting to, again, you know, grow our family here,
yeah,
we want a dog. That's our, okay, like, that's our I think our next big goal. But it's hard being a renter because our landlords, who are wonderful,
yeah,
have some limitations with the different dog breeds that,
mm-hmm,
we can have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally understandable. But right now the housing market is really challenging. And the first person who signed my nomination paper, her name is Nicole, and I was asking her about some of her concerns.
Mm.
And she had said, you know, I have lived here for over 40 years. I have an adult child in their 20s. And if I wanted to move to Quincy right now, I don't think I could afford it.
Right.
And it was interesting hearing that from someone who's lived here for a really long time, who is well-connected, as opposed to, you know, two middle-aged millennials like us, who are just trying to figure out where we can start to build the type of life that we really want,
sure,
while staying in a place that we really enjoy living in.
Sure.
And I think that's pretty common.
Okay.
So as far as the transparency piece, I think it's helpful to be able to understand what the line items are and where they're coming from. You know, I took a look at the FY26 budget, and I really appreciate that it's presented in a couple of different ways. It also took a little bit of digging to find it, so I also think about that through the lens of, if English wasn't my first language or I wasn't as comfortable navigating technology, this might be a little bit more challenging, and that might be more frustrating.
Okay.
So I think that's a really important piece. And because the role is budgetary, again, you know, there's, I can't speak to certain components of that because I haven't,
right.
I'm not privy to some of those conversations.
No, and I wouldn't ask you about that right now. Yeah.
Oh, no, but I would love to be able to learn more so that way I can be as transparent as possible when having conversations with, right. with residents.
Sure. I'm just curious, Jackie, the discussion around the dinner table with your husband about deciding to run for elective office, you know, and some of the pros and cons that you weighed when it came to that decision. And, you know, your first foray here into local politics. So it's very different from anything you've done so far.
It is. You know? It is. And we are, you know, we both volunteered for campaigns before.
Okay. All right.
But
okay.
He was the one who encouraged me to do this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we did get married in January. We had a really small ceremony, and we are having the bigger party the week after the general election.
Okay.
So this was a decision that was not made lightly.
Yeah.
It was made with a lot of thought.
Right.
But we, you know, we chose to land in Quincy together with intention because
yes.
we enjoy being here.
Okay.
We think it's a really special place. And coming up against some of the barriers to information
mm-hmm.
feels really frustrating.
Not true. Okay.
So we want to better the experience for other people around us.
Okay. So you're thinking, if I'm having this much trouble,
definitely.
And I've been here over 10 years, so newcomers must be having even more difficulty, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think if you first move to any new city or town and you have children, the school district is oftentimes a conduit for accessing
sure.
more information, or if you know you're sending them to daycare,
mm-hmm.
it's an easy way to network. But when you don't have kids, that makes it a little bit trickier and isolating,
mm-hmm.
I think. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you're not feeling as comfortable being outgoing, right? So if you don't know where to look for information, it's easy to get frustrated and just kind of give up,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we don't want.
Mm.
You know, Steve and I are active on a couple of different social media platforms. Like, I find out about a lot of what is going on through Instagram.
Really?
And yeah,
okay.
and interestingly, you know, I had some campaign plans on Saturday before the Dropkick Murphys concert.
Yes. Yeah.
And I follow a florist on Hancock Street,
yep.
and they had highlighted another new business that called Art Box, which is also on Hancock Street. And they have branded themselves as a co-working space.
Mm.
And so we decided to stop by, and it was great.
Mm.
But without that one little glimpse into social media, I would have had no idea that this business existed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, and I checked out Discover Quincy to see if this place was listed yet, and it wasn't. And they've been open since June 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of figuring out where are the best places to look, where are the best places to direct people. I know that there's also a Quincy Women's Walking Group that started relatively recently, and the woman who started it did so because she moved to Quincy as a single person and wanted to just build community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is what makes the city wonderful, are all the different pockets of community.
Sure.
So,
as you're well aware, the city is very concentrated in the Asian community, about 40% probably
mm-hmm.
Asian population. Do you see areas within that community that need addressing?
I do. You know, I think that the Asian community needs more support in different ways. You know, I think the discussion around Lunar New Year
yes.
and the ordinance that was passed
yep.
last spring was a really significant opportunity that the council, I think, took advantage of, and I hope that they continue to make good on that
okay.
as this upcoming school year begins.
Okay.
You know, I know, again, I don't want to speak for the school committee,
mm-hmm.
And I understand that there's a lot of complexity in the decision making as to whether or not the holiday should be honored. But I think if we have celebrations like the August Moon Festival, and that they are as significant as they are, if we have resources that are specific to the Asian community, we need to look at the population that we have
mm-hmm.
in front of us. And as council members, like, we need to be supportive of that. The school district the students and the families within the school district have indicated that it's an area where they would like support. And last year, I did email all of the counselors to advocate for my support
okay.
when Councilor Liang initiated this ordinance. And I referenced Randolph Public Schools. When I first started working there, the Jewish holidays were holidays that they had off, but we didn't have a large Jewish population at that time. Mm-hmm. It was just historically significant. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, through the initiation of the students, they decided to take those holidays off of the calendar because it just wasn't as relevant
sure.
for the current body yep. of students and families. And again, I think
so
it's
an opportunity. You appreciate that advocacy. Yeah.
I do, yeah. especially when it's coming from students and families,
right.
100%.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to finances, Jackie, fiscal mm-hmm. issues, how would you kind of describe yourself in terms of how you approach money when it comes to spending the city's tax dollars?
That's a great question,
yeah.
and I think it's an important responsibility,
yeah.
Especially given some of the cuts that could be coming down in the wake of the recent passing of a federal bill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I was taking a look at the budget recently, and I understand that there's a significant amount of money that needs to be paid due to pensions. I think that's really important. And I think it's difficult to start a fiscal year in a deficit.
Mm.
But that being said, I also think about how people are just feeling really unsupported, not necessarily by the city, but in terms of like their own budgets. And so I understand that people have minimal bandwidth to think about some of these things. And I think about that between my education experience and my experience at the nonprofit where I'm working through, people aren't going to be worrying about much more than if they have enough food to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important. So I think about if things are going to be cut, either through the school budget or otherwise, how are we going to support residents to make sure that they have what they need? How do we facilitate that?
Mm.
Is it through advocacy to elected officials at the state level? Are there other underutilized resources that we can tap into? Those are questions that I don't know the answers to yet, but they are questions that I have. And I would absolutely want to bring that to a bigger body to have these discussions.
Okay.
So I think it's important to be mindful and conservative in times of uncertainty, but we have to make sure that people are taken care of
okay.
here. Because I feel like if our job is budgetary, part of our job is advocating for the residents of
mm-hmm.
Quincy.
Sure. You mentioned you went door knocking to collect
mm-hmm.
your signatures. What other things were folks sharing with you during that process that they were concerned about?
I think that the primary concerns are around transparency and just accessibility. I think it feels like for some people that there's a little bit of a wall between them and electeds.
Mm.
You know, I think people that really care about what's going on in the community, and they want to be able to know when is an appropriate time to have FaceTime. When is there an appropriate time to have speaking opportunities, or when will there be community forums where if it's not appropriate during an actual council meeting,
right.
when can they have that time to advocate?
Okay.
And I understand where they're coming from, where if they've reached out via email or they've tried to give a phone call and somebody hasn't gotten back. I mean, I get that. I'm not always as great about responding in a timely manner as I would like to be sometimes, but you know, leaving somebody on read is really frustrating. So I think just feeling like there is two-way communication
mm-hmm.
is a common thing.
Okay.
And as I mentioned with that first constituent whose signature
yes.
I earned, you know, the housing piece is something that a lot of us are concerned about.
Sure. You mentioned traffic, development.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel the city is moving in that direction? You know, how would you describe yourself when it comes to development?
Good question. So the traffic piece, you know, I often, living on Independence Avenue, I have to take that street on, like, where Hannon and Parking Way
mm-hmm.
intersect.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a big fan of the traffic light that was installed there.
Okay.
That has made a big difference. And, you know, I don't know what was discussed at that community meeting that happened back in March that was related to traffic, because, again, I haven't had a lot of detailed information relayed to me about what was discussed there and what next steps would be. But I think it's really important to continue to have these conversations. You know, I have a friend who they live closer to Furnace Brook Parkway, and their daughter is going into first grade. And this past year, while she was in kindergarten, she was late to school a lot of the time, despite living less than 10 minutes away because of traffic. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of parents have to factor that in. Mm. And it's really hard when you're trying to get an elementary aged kid out the door in the morning, right? So those types of conversations need to be more open and available so that, you know, we receive feedback from people, because the traffic impacts everybody's day to day. And as far as economic development is concerned, I'm seeing really great trends in terms of the businesses that are opening up within the community. For years, I said to myself, I would love it so much if we had a bookstore. And now we finally have one. The Next Chapter Books is great. And I think, you know, my husband would say everything would be perfect in Quincy if we just had a movie theater. because I think about it in terms of, do we need to leave Quincy for anything? Mm-hmm. We have James Beard Award semifinalists. We have national champions for sports right in our city. We had a free concert with 10,000 people a couple of days ago. We have incredible history. We have 26 miles of shoreline. And I think we're moving in the right direction. I think an area to improve upon would be additional third spaces, especially for students and for kids. Mm. You know, my understanding from my friends with children is that it's not always guaranteed that they'll land a spot in Q care. Like, it's really competitive to get into that space with before care and after care being covered. I go to the Y, and there are a lot of high school kids that attend there. And while I know that they have resources, if someone needs financial assistance, I also think about some of the stuff in terms of, well, what if someone doesn't have the finances to access these things? The library does a beautiful job of providing resources for kids. But if the library isn't open, where are people going to go? So that's something that I think about frequently.
Sure. Okay. Do you want to comment on specific issues throughout the city? I'm thinking the statue controversy at the new public safety complex, the Quarry Hills lease extension. Do you have enough information about those to comment on?
I've heard some commentary about the statues, and I think what would have helped with that situation is, again, more clarity. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that the first meeting we decided to attend in person happened to be the one where everyone was in attendance about the statues, and we had no idea that because we hadn't looked at the agenda. Mm-hmm. But I think that there was information that could have been more clearly conveyed, because my understanding was that the line item for the statues was passed, you know, before this fiscal year, and it was at the discretion of the mayor, not the council. And I think there was a little bit of misunderstanding around that. So everyone's feelings about the situation are valid. And I think it's also really important to remember, especially when something feels really intense and leans toward controversy, mm-hmm. that we put on, I feel like a little bit of a teacher here, but mm-hmm. we put on our curiosity hats and we try to dig and find the correct information so we have the best understanding possible.
Okay.
And I don't think that information was appropriately conveyed.
Okay, fair enough.
Going
forward, Jackie, what is your campaign strategy?
Lots of door knocking.
Okay.
Lots of continued door knocking and trying to meet people in communities as much as possible and attending local events so I can interact with folks. And earning donations so I can send out mailers. Mm-hmm. I'm not sponsored by any big corporations. You know, we're doing this at a grassroots level. We don't have campaign staff. My husband is also wearing the role of campaign manager.
Okay.
and we're doing this while also, you know, planning a wedding.
Oh yes, that.
Right. All right. Yeah, no big thing. So I think, you know, trying to get as much FaceTime as possible. And I have a website which also has an email link. It's JackieCarveyForQuincy.org.
Okay.
I have an Instagram social media page, and so I would welcome the opportunity to converse with people, to meet with folks, to hear about, again, what they're looking for out of the role of counselor at large.
Okay.
Outside of, you know, of budgetary concerns.
Right. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share with folks right now?
No, I think that covers it, and I really appreciate the time and the opportunity. Oh, actually, I do have something.
Yeah, please.
We have historically low voter turnout in Quincy for elections. So the preliminary election is September 2nd, so get registered to vote if you're not by mid-August.
And August 23rd is the deadline.
August 23rd, yeah. So but it's always good to be on top of it ahead of time, I think.
Okay.
So you can vote by mail-in ballot. You can find this information on the City of Quincy website. And again, everyone's voice matters. I want to be the best advocate I can, and I can't do that for the entire constituency if not everybody is engaged.
Okay, fair enough. Great to meet you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we'll see you next time.